other things you might could be doing this afternoon, but just think, you just give 90 minutes of your time and you can help feed 10,000 people. You know, that's amazing. So we need all of you, please, all ages, children, youth, adults, please come and join us as we pack these meals this afternoon beginning at 3 o'clock. Come a few minutes early so we can get started right at 3. You might have noticed that the new cross has been installed in this past week in the area where the fountain was, and we're very thankful for that, and that will be dedicated on Easter Sunday. The information in your bulletin about the Dream With Me box that has the envelopes for the building fund, they have actually now been moved. There are some over here by the entrance to the sanctuary and some in the narthex. So if you would pick up one of those today and continue to give to our building fund. The insert in your bulletin is about the Easter lilies. If you'd like to give one or more, please consider that and do that today. You'll look at the calendar for this week. Let me mention that the women's circles tomorrow, I was going to mention during prayer concerns about the passing of Eleanor Cook. Her service will be here tomorrow morning. So the women's circle number one will meet at 10 o'clock for a shorter meeting, but they will meet at 10, but it will be in the Brotherhood classroom. But all the other circles will meet as scheduled. Look on the back of your bulletin. You see the special services coming up next Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then Maundy Thursday of Holy Week, and then Easter Sunday. So make sure you're here and invite someone to come with you for those very special services. Look with me now at our prayer concerns. I want to be in prayer for especially families who lost loved ones this past week. Be in prayer for the family of June Cook. That is Alice Johansson's sister who passed away very suddenly. So be in prayer for Alice and for her whole family. Also ask your prayers for the family of Eleanor Cook. Eleanor passed away at home Friday morning, and so I know you'll want to be in prayer for her family. The arrangements are that there will be visitation in our parlor tomorrow morning beginning at 9:30, and then the service here in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock, so please come if you can. A few more updates. Janet Hunter is listed at ARMC, which she was when the bulletin was printed, but now she's home. Had some breathing issues, so be in prayer for Janet's recovery. Also, George Catalano, Tim Catalano's father, had a heart event this past week and ended up going to ARMC and then being airlifted to UNC, where he got a heart stent put in, but now he's at home, so be in prayer for his recovery as well. Ask your prayers also for Tom Covert, Sandra's brother-in-law. This Thursday, in particular, he's going to be having intensive treatments this Thursday, so be in prayer for Tom. I want to say some words of praise. Jim Slaughter is listed as recovering from back surgery, which he is, and we need to continue to pray for him, but he's with us this morning, so Jim, we're glad to see you. Are there any other prayer concerns that you'd like to mention this morning? Let me give you then a couple of other words of praise. Just found out this morning, Kathy and Ron Florence have a brand new grandson, Fleet Jones, born to Emily and Josh on Friday, weighing in at 9 pounds, 14 ounces. So we were thankful to hear that. Also, we're very thankful for the special music that we're going to have today. You'll see the names listed in your bulletin, but thank you so much for being here. Richard Cox has arranged this, both arranged the music and arranged for this to happen. So, Richard, we're thankful to you for that. Several people I want to honor today. I don't know if everyone is here, but want to mention the names of those who are going to be inducted this Saturday into the Graham Sports Hall of Fame. First, the Hall of Fame, Jim Melvin. And then the Hall of Honor, George Dillard and Bill Joy. See, Jim's not here. Bill's not here. George, would you stand, please? Yeah. very well-deserved honors for all three, so we're thankful for all of them. Let's now prepare our hearts to worship God. You'll see in your bulletin that we're going to hear the wonderful song, My Tribute, and we'll give God the glory as we prepare our hearts to worship God today. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join in the call to worship. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. But life is filled with challenges, and sometimes we are faced with circumstances that rob our joy. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Let us pray. O Lord, in the midst of the darkness that seems to surround us, we thank you that Jesus, our Savior, is the light of this world. So, Lord, we pray that as we gather here in this place to worship you, that indeed you'd send forth your word into our hearts and then send us out to share your word and share the light of Jesus with all those that we meet. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. As we think about God's goodness to us, to be honest, we have to admit that we have not fully followed the Lord in all the ways that we have said that we would. So let us confess our sinfulness before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Our faithful God, we praise you for all the ways in which you have shown your love and mercy to us, your undeserving children. You have reached out to those we have despised. You have embraced those we have shunned. And in doing so, you have taught us that since no one is beyond your mercy, even our worst sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Lord, sometimes it seems too hard for us to believe, but today we thank you for being the God that you are, a God of total forgiveness and boundless mercy. Amen. We've been hearing from Dr. Mickey Eford for the past five Sundays about the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in the God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Christian friends, let us rejoice in the life that we have today in and through our Savior Jesus Christ. It is through him that we are forgiven. Amen. Invite the children now to come forward, and as they're coming, why don't you greet someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today. Have a seat right here. Y'all can have a seat right here. This is your microphone. We are very pleased today to be able to celebrate both of the sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We're very pleased to have Richard and Cindy Colley present their infant daughter Isla for the sacrament of baptism. So we're going to invite you to come forward. And the assisting elder is Aaron Day, who's an elder in the church, but also is proud grandfather today. What? Why don't you stand next to your daddy? And Isla is happy. We're glad for that. We wanted you to be here so that you can see. Some of you were baptized when you were a little baby. You don't remember it, of course. But your parents presented you, and we use water for baptism. Water is a symbol of cleansing and washing. Actually, this water actually contains water from the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized many, many years ago. But we're so thankful to that Richard and Cindy want Isla to be baptized today. So let's have a prayer. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this very special day. We thank you for what it means in the life of this whole family, but especially for Isla. We pray that you would take this water now and set it apart from its common use to a holy use, and that you would confirm in heaven what we do in this place as we place this water on her head and look forward to the day in hope that she would one day stand before a congregation and profess her own faith in Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, first I have some questions for Richard and Cindy as Isla's parents. Do you reaffirm your own faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you? Do you claim God's covenant promises on Isla's behalf, and do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for her salvation as you do for your own? Do you? Do you now unreservedly promise in humble reliance upon God's grace to set before Isla an example of the new life in Christ? Do you? Do you promise to pray with and for her and to bring her up in the knowledge and love of God? Do you? In the Presbyterian Church, you act, we don't have godparents per se, but you as a congregation act as those assisting these parents. So Aaron has some questions to ask you. It is.
Do you, the members of this congregation, in the name of the whole Church of Christ, undertake with these parents Isla's Christian nurture so that in due time she may confess faith in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? Will you endeavor by your example and fellowship to strengthen Isla's family ties with the household of God. Will you?
She would, yeah. What's her full Christian name? Okay. Isla Bell Colley, Child of the Covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now let's go for a little walk. Yeah. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to see Isla. You can see how pretty she is, but more than that, I want you to know that she's a specially loved child of God. You have made promises on her behalf, and I want you to take those promises seriously because it takes all of us working together. We need to pray for Richard and Cindy. You know, they're doing a lot of work themselves, but it takes all of us working together to show Isla what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we're all going to fail along the way. We understand that, recognize that. But we need to continue to work hard to show her, by our example, exactly what it means to look like, to live out the promises that Jesus Christ has given to us. So I want you to pray especially today for Richard and Cindy and for Isla, and pray that God will bless them in a very special way as they continue to seek to raise her and teach her what Jesus wants her to be like. Okay? Let's have a prayer now. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this precious baby. I thank you for Isla and for what she means to you, that she is indeed your precious child. We pray that you would bless this family now, the whole family, extended family as well, all the friends and family that are here today. Bless all of them so that they would work together in helping Isla to understand what it means to follow you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You did a great job, Isla. Yes, you did. I knew you would be no problem at all.
Yeah. Good.
Congratulations. And God bless you. Richard, God bless you. Love you. yeah, in short periods of time, yeah.
Don't
yeah. All right, now, before you leave, there's one more thing. I need one of you to help me. Carter, would you help me? I think you would do a great job. Okay. I'm going to play a game with you because it goes along with the sermon today. I have done this in the past, but I hadn't done it in a long time. Just step forward just a little bit. Okay, now what I want you to do, put your feet together. This is called the trust game. Okay? You've got to trust me. Carter, do you trust me? You're a smart boy. His answer was, kinda. And that's many times the way we trust God, you know, kind of kinda, you know. But I want you to put your feet together, and then I want you to lean back, and I'm going to catch you, I promise you. I'm not playing games. I said this was a game. I'm not playing that kind of game. I'm not going to let you fall, okay? And you know what's going to happen? If he trusts me, don't do it yet. If he trusts me, then he'll go all the way back and I'll catch him. If he doesn't trust me, what will happen is when he starts going back, then he'll do like that. Okay? All right, you ready? Just go all the way back. I'll catch you. See, you did trust me. Great job. Yeah, and that's what we need. God, we know that God will keep all his promises, and we need to trust him and just let ourselves fall back into his arms, okay? It's time now to head out for children's church. So Miss Julie is here, and she will be glad to take you to children's church where you can learn more about Jesus. For those of you visiting with us during the season of Lent, we have been looking at the promises of God, knowing that God is a God we can trust. So today we come to Proverbs chapter 3. If you'll look within your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, page 585 in your pew Bibles. This book of Proverbs is a wisdom book that is written to give the experience and wisdom of an older person who has lived many years seeking to follow God and now distills that wisdom into sayings that we can understand. This particular one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, has been a favorite of mine. Believe it or not, as old as I am, I remember learning these verses in Vacation Bible School a long time ago, which reminds me that it's so important what we teach our children. It will last with them for the rest of their lives. So our children right now, whether it's Sunday school or children's church, Vacation Bible School, some of the things they're learning, they're going to remember 50, 60 more years from now. So, but I remember memorizing these verses, and they are still important to me. So listen carefully. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, I wanted to present what these verses teach us in a very simple way that you can grasp. And so I've broken it down into what I'm calling the five keys of life, dividing these two verses into five parts. And each one presents us a key with how we should live our lives. The first one is trust in the Lord. And the key is rest all that you are on all that God is. Rest all that you are on all that God is. Now, the Hebrew word for trust means to rest your full weight on something, just as Carter did with me just a few moments ago. Rest your full weight. So rest all that you are on all that God is. Now, recently, our daughter Lauren has had a lot of foot injuries. Many times her foot would hurt, and yet for a long time she was in a cast. And yet she'd have to move from her wheelchair to the car or transfer to other places. And when I was with her, I would remind her, I would say over and over to her, because she's got one good foot and one not so good foot, so stand on your good foot. You put your weight on your good foot and then rest on me. Let me help you. Hold on to me. Rest your weight on me and trust me. And so she would do that. That's kind of a symbol of what we need to do with God. We are weak. We don't like to admit it. We want to think that we're strong and we can handle it all, but we are weak and we need to rest our weight on God, rest all that we are on all that God is. Now, is God sufficient for us? Is God's grace sufficient for us? Is God strong enough to help us? Absolutely. That's what we believe. And so, when we trust in the Lord, we know that He will help us in every way. Then secondly, with all your heart. And I call this key, go all in. Go all in. Now, the word heart is not a cardiac term. It's really that decision room or control room of your life. And what are we to do with our whole selves? We are to trust completely in the Lord. Go all in. Hold nothing back. You see that word all? It's total, complete, without any exceptions or reservations. And it's probably not something you're going to do just in a one-time act. You say, well, today I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, that's great for today, but you're going to have to every step of the way. You're going to have to go all in every step of your life and remind yourself that each step of the life, each phase of your life, you kind of have to do it all over again. You know, when you first get married, you're not alone anymore. And then, or maybe if you have children, or maybe if you're single at a time in your life, you go all in, take all that you are and trust it to the Lord. Now, I am not a swimmer, but I do know that you can't go all in by just sitting on the side of the pool and putting your feet in the water. You have to dive in, which reminded me of a song that Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a number of years ago called Dive. The words go like this. I'm diving in. I'm going deep. In over my head I want to be. Caught in the rush, lost in the flow. In over my head I want to go. The river's deep. The river's wide. The river's water is alive. So sink or swim, I'm diving in. That's what God wants us to do, to dive in. Go all in with him. Trust him completely. And then number three, lean not on your own understanding. I call that key. Don't think you can figure it all out on your own. Don't think that you can figure it all out on your own. Now, does God want us to use our brains and try to figure things out? Absolutely. But he wants us to lean not on our own understanding. The word lean there refers to what we do when we're not strong enough to stand on our own. We need to lean, but not on our own understanding. Here's another proverb for you that goes along with this. Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, human beings plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Or as we have it in the message, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. It's great to make your plans. You ought to. I love to plan. But we have to understand that in the end, it's not just our strength and our understanding, but God's. It reminds me, most Sunday evenings, sometime during Sunday evening, I have a practice that I do just about every week. I sit with my computer and update my to-do list for the coming week. It's a vital exercise for me because if I don't write down in some fashion what I plan to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forget it. I'm not going to do my job well because there'll be something that I forget. I might do that anyway, even if I write it down, but I at least want to start by writing it down. But you know what happens? Even though every Sunday evening I sit and make out my to-do list for the coming week, you know what happens every week without fail? Something comes up that week that I did not anticipate. Something comes up to change my plans. So you see, we need to make our plans, but then submit them to God. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's just not enough. And then he says, in all your ways, submit to him. I call this key, know God deeply. Know God deeply. Now, most translations have, in all your ways, acknowledge God or recognize God or know God. The more we journey on in life, the better we need to know God. Now, let me confess something to you. I work in the church. I plan worship services, I write sermons and Bible lessons to teach. I do it all the time. And yet, do you realize that I can do all of that? I can come to worship and lead worship. I can stand here and preach a sermon and yet not have my mind on God at all. Have you ever done that? Ever come to a worship service, gone through the motions, and not really thought that deeply about God at all? You see, we need to know God deeply. Whatever level at which I know God right now, by next year at this time, I want to know God more deeply than I do right now. And I'm not just talking about facts about God. I'm talking about my relationship with God. I think about other relationships in my life. For example, the most important other relationship I have is my relationship with my wife, Joy. This year, we will have been married 27 years. I think back to when I first started dating her. By the way, there were 6 months between our first date and our wedding. I don't necessarily recommend that to everybody, but it worked for us. But I think back to how I knew Joy when I first started dating her, and then all the things, all the circumstances that we have been through and the places we have lived and things that have happened since then. And now I know her much more deeply. And that's the way it ought to be with God as time passes. Many times there are Christians, people in the church, who borrow on what they learned about God from years ago, and there's nothing fresh in their knowledge of it. It ought not to be that way. We ought to know God deeply. And then number five, he will make your paths straight And what I call this, the key is, God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. The Hebrew phrase literally is make your path straight. Straight paths are the best. They don't have obstacles. They're level and even. They're clear to walk. That reminds me of the trip that Emily and Joy and I took to Sequoia National Park in California last year. The giant sequoias, if you've never been there and you ever have a chance to go, you need to go. We drove, I think it was 5 hours one way out of the way. I did 10 hours of driving in one day just to go see them, and I thought, that's not really worth it. It was worth it. Beautiful sight. They're the most massive trees, the largest living organisms on earth dating back some 3,000 years to the time of King David. The tallest is the General Sherman tree. So I wanted to make sure that I saw the tallest tree there. And so there was a path to go see this tree, and I followed the path. It was basically all downhill. And it was a long path. But we got there, and I looked at that General Sherman tree, and it was beautiful. You know, took pictures and all that. Just a wonderful experience. Well, it was time to go. Guess what I had to do? I had to follow the path. And that path was it was longer going back. But it was basically all up. I went up that hill and up that hill and up that hill. It would have been so much easier if it were straight and level path. Notice, he will make your paths straight. There are so many things in life that I do not understand. I still don't understand. So many things in my life that I still struggle with. But if I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, not lean to my own understanding, seek in all my ways to submit to him, then I trust that God will take care of the rest. I want to offer that as a promise to you. Are there things that you're struggling with right now? Maybe a decision or a problem in your life? Trust in the Lord. Seek to follow him, and then let God take care of the rest. You're not in control anyway. So don't feel like you have to iron it all out. Let God take care of it. I want you to hear this proverb again, this time from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. One of the ways that God keeps us on track is by our coming together to worship God, being reminded of who God is, and being reminded of how we're in relationship to each other. And we have the great pleasure, I mentioned a while ago today, of celebrating both sacraments of the church. Baptism, the water, a sign and a seal of our belonging to God, and now the sign and seal of the Lord's Supper that you see before you. Let us prepare our hearts to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as we stand together as you're able and sing the words you'll find in your bulletin. Let us break bread together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this meal that has been prepared for us. It is a meal that reminds us that Jesus Christ indeed is our Savior and Lord. He is the one in whom we need to place our trust. No matter what's going on in our life right now, we can look to Him and know that He is there with us, that He loves us, that He will lead us and guide us. We thank you for our Savior Jesus. Even on the night before His death, He gathered with His disciples and broke bread and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Do this and remember me." The same way also after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." So, Lord, we thank you and praise you that we, though we are not worthy in ourselves, our worthiness is in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we can come together and partake together. Thank you for that. Through Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Indeed, that last night before His death, Jesus gathered with His disciples and broke bread and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." We'll be doing things a little bit differently today because of the music that we'll be able to hear during communion. We'll serve you the bread, and you can go ahead and partake together. When you receive the bread, you go ahead and eat it, and then the same thing with the cup, because we won't be taking time in between the elements to receive the bread. So as you receive each element, partake and remember Jesus.
I will live in faith and have no fear, for the Lord will teach me right from wrong. I believe that God is always near. Give me hope to make me strong. I will serve the Lord in every way and proclaim the power of the word. I will use my talents every day to show God's love to all the world. My life's a song that I will sing for the Lord, a song of thanks, a song of praise, a gift of love that I will share with people everywhere. My grateful song I raise. My life's a song that I will sing for the Lord, a song of thanks, a song of praise, a gift of love that I will share with people.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this meal that we have shared together. It reminds us of our Savior Jesus, that indeed he gave his all, holding nothing back, giving his body and blood as a sacrifice so that we might be in relationship with you, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might know you, that one day we might be in your very presence along with all the saints who have gone before us. So, Lord, we pray that indeed everything that we do now here on this earth might be a song of praise to you, offered to you, that you might receive all honor, glory, and praise through all that we do. We pray together in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who long ago taught his followers to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now present to the Lord the offerings that we bring to God's glory. Thank you. Lord, as we give these offerings, we dedicate ourselves, all that we are. We want to go all in with you, dedicate everything that we have, that you might be honored and glorified through us. We pray through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We sang that last verse, couldn't help but think about Eleanor Cook, who sang in this choir for 76 years, worshiped in this space for over 80 years. I had the privilege of visiting with her a lot the past few weeks. She knew what was happening. She said, "But it's soon the Lord's going to come and take me, and I'm ready." And if you knew Eller and knew that smile, she would give me that smile and she'd say, "You know, I'm ready to go and be with the Lord." What a testimony of faith. And it came from her trusting in the Lord with all her heart through all the ups and downs of her life all these years. So let me offer to you once again, trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He'll take care of the rest. So as you go, may your trust and your hope and your joy be in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will never disappoint you or fail you, both in this life and the life to come. Amen.